It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, we are now on to doing chapter 33. We did chapter 34, and we undertook to come back and do chapter 33 of the book of Genesis. Pastor Maupa is on the line now to help us chew on chapter 33. Once again, welcome, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us and to help us chew on such difficult concepts from these Bible verses and Bible chapters. Right now, am I correct? We agreed on chapter 33, right?
Yes, we once did chapter 33.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So
we did chapter 34, and we said we're going to go back to chapter 33 since we skipped it.
Okay. Oh, is that so?
Yes, Mfundisi.
Oh, there was called that today you should be doing chapter 35. I don't know.
We're doing chapter 35 tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Would you like? We can do chapter 35 now, and then tomorrow we could go back to chapter 33.
Tomorrow. Ah, no problem. I have no problem.
Which one would you like us to do? Chapter 35 now or tomorrow?
I think let's do chapter 35 today, then tomorrow we do the chapter 33 that we skipped.
Okay, not a problem. All right. We are reading chapter 35, and I'm reading it from the New International Version. It reads as follows: Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of all the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So Jacob gave all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns of all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, or Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Elon Bakluth. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at that place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was giving great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't despair, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin, or Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Edgar, beyond Migdal Edar. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Hey, Lindwana. Jacob had 12 sons. The sons of Leah were Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel were Joseph and Benjamin, or Benjamin. The sons of Rachel's servant were Bilhah, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Leah's servant, Zilpah, were Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, near Kiriath Arba, that is in Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. And his sons, Esau and Jacob, buried him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
All right, your thoughts and feelings before we get into the questions. You know I'm aching to get into the questions, so go ahead. Your thoughts first.
Well, yeah. What a quiet contrast between chapter 34 and chapter 35.
Right.
In chapter 34, interestingly, there's no single name of God there you find in chapter 34. It's like God was not even involved in whatever happened in chapter 34. But also, interestingly enough, in chapter 35, it's like God is now in the picture.
He's the main actor in this chapter.
Yeah, he's the main actor and he's directing the whole issues. And interestingly, in chapter 34, it is Jacob who chose where to stay.
Right.
But in chapter 35, God is directing Jacob where to go.
Go back to Bethel.
Yes, and God said directly, go rise up and go to Bethel and dwell there.
Yeah, yeah.
So somebody said that the best place you can be, or the best, safest place you can be, is where God wants you to be.
Absolutely.
And where God wants you to be, the GPS of blessings will follow you. So you the issues. So the issue of Jacob there, God says, when you go to Bethel,
right,
I am going to bless you.
Right.
And indeed he was blessed because he was there at the right place at the right time.
Yes.
Because God has directed him to go to Bethel.
Right, right.
And the other thing that is interesting me in chapter 35 is that when Jacob made an altar for worship.
Right.
You see, when someone erects an altar, it's a serious issue of worship.
Mm.
You see? And what did Jacob do? After erecting this altar, there was a need of purification within his family. Why? When he came out of Shechem or Canaanite, from the Canaanites,
right,
they took some gods with them. So when you worship God, there's some things that need to be removed or taken away from us.
Right.
So what Jacob is doing here is purifying his family.
Right.
Because they had taken, so they had associated so much with the Canaanites at Shechem to the point that they their own gods, imagine, these are Israelites, but you're forgetting, Funis,
that these women were already idol worshippers from their home of Laban. They were already worshipping idols. Remember, Rachel went
Laban
as far as to steal one of her father's idols, and she hid the idol underneath herself, and she pretended to be in her periods. So it's not only when they came to Canaan and Shechem that they met idolatry. So, they were already born and bred idol worshippers.
Idolatry.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So what Jacob failed to do is now doing it at Bethel.
Right.
And why at Bethel? Do you remember their first encounter between God and Jacob was also at Bethel?
Okay.
And this is the second time he's coming there, and it's a second second encounter also with God.
Right.
So what he's doing, he knew that his family, they are from idolatry.
Right.
They worship their own gods, and they had all their own gods. So he's, what he's now doing is purifying the family.
Okay.
By doing what? Removing those gods.
Yeah.
So that they can worship the true.
Yes.
God.
The one true God. Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Let's get into my favorite part of our conversation where I get to get some clarity on the things that confused me.
All right.
This concept of God telling him to go back to Bethel, it gives the impression that God is only going to be available to him in certain geographical areas. And yet we as Christians are told, wherever you are, God is going to be there for you. But it seems as though God is only ready to be with Jacob when he's in Bethel. What am I seeing there from this?
Well, it's like he wants to reveal himself.
Only in a particular place. You know, it's feeding into that teaching that some people say that God is only going to find you in church. If you don't go to church, God is not going to be with you. But that's a problematic theory for Mfundisi. I just need to clarify, what exactly, why is God insisting on a particular geography? Why is geography necessary here? What is so important about the geography as opposed to just wherever you are, God can make that place holy place? Well, help me understand.
Okay. Like, let me touch on a principle here.
Yeah.
God is everywhere.
Right.
We agree on that.
Right.
God is everywhere, whether you are in a mountain, whether you are in a church, whether in a, wherever you are, you can easily reach out to God.
Okay.
Because he's everywhere.
Right.
But now, coming to the issue between God and Jacob going to Bethel, it's a bit personal. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's a bit personal between God. My own thinking, maybe their first encounter at Bethel, Jacob must have forgotten something.
Okay.
My own thinking. So he's saying go back as a reminder of what they had agreed on, you see. And when he goes back to Bethel, you can see what he's doing with Jacob.
Right.
He's trying to get it right with God.
Yeah.
You know, removing idols, trying to help his family to worship the true God. I'm of the thinking that he must have forgotten the first experience.
Okay.
And God is saying, no, let's go back to Bethel. That's my thinking.
Okay.
Not meaning that God does not appear at church or anywhere else.
Right, right.
God is,
right.
is everywhere.
Right, yes. right. And then let's talk about this issue of earrings, Mfundisi. It's a benign thing, but it's very interesting that here, verse 4, so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears. And Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Is there any significance there, Mfundisi? Because while we may not have graven images, but we do see some of our women in these days seeing there's nothing wrong with rings. There's nothing said here. There's no, God doesn't instruct this. It is Jacob, but it just I can't ignore this issue of the rings. What do we what do we learn about these earrings, Mfundisi?
Well, you see, my own research on these rings.
Right.
These rings were mainly put by women who worshipped idols.
Right.
You see, it's sort of, so to some it was sort of a decoration.
Right.
So to some it's a connection between their gods.
Right.
You see.
Okay.
So Jacob is trying to remove that mind, that theory maybe.
Okay.
Remove these things that so that you can worship the true God.
But
so
they still didn't worship. It is him who worshipped them, Mfundisi.
Yes.
There is no record of them.
So?
Yeah. There is no record of Leah or Rachel or Bilhah or Zilpah ever worshipping God. We only have record of Jacob doing the worshiping, and well, he brings the family along. They are there watching him worship. So, I'm not quite sure I understand.
Well, I was saying Jacob was. I'm coming from the point that now Jacob he is married to these people.
Right, right, right.
He is now the father.
Right.
He is the priest. So the priest has to direct the family how things should do.
Right.
Or how should the family worship?
Absolutely.
As a priest.
Yeah, yeah.
You are the one who is responsible in your household.
Yeah.
No matter they came from an adulatory.
Even if they don't believe
nation.
In it.
Yeah, hello?
Even if they themselves don't believe in it. They're just, because what appears to be happening now, they're just obeying the instructions, not because they themselves believe in God, not because they themselves have a relationship with God. They're simply obeying the voice of the patriarch of the family.
The yeah.
Okay. And then
the issue with the rings, yeah, to me it's something to do with the idolatry.
Yeah.
That's the way they worship their God.
Right.
They are accustomed to that, wearing those rings, bangles, and you name it.
Yeah.
To them it was normal.
Right.
But to Jacob it was something strange, you know.
Right, right. I found it rather interesting.
So you were trying to remove those things.
Yeah, yeah, sure. So let's talk about Alon Bakuth, Mfundiso, Al Bakuth, the oak of weeping. They are saying, verse 8, now Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakuth. Who was crying for Deborah? I mean, Deborah was not married to anybody there. She was just somebody's maid. Why would they be calling that place the Oak of Weeping, Alon Bakuth? I mean, she plays no role whatsoever in the family. Yeah, go ahead, Mbunis.
You know, the name Deborah there.
Yes.
I read from some commentary saying that she was... somebody they loved.
Okay.
You know, they had good relations with Deborah, this one.
Okay.
So when she died, she broke them.
Yeah.
To the point that they wept for her.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of relationship that they had with Deborah.
Right,
the
right.
The whole Jacob's clan.
Yeah.
That's a comment that I heard. That she had a good relation with them. To the point that they buried it under this oak and it named that place also.
Right.
It was an issue of a relationship with
absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Even if she was working with them, they had good relations.
Let's move on to the issue of these stone pillars. I don't know, Mfundisi. It sounds like another form of idolatry again.
That's why you are touching on something that's very controversial.
We first see this stone, him putting up a stone. Verse 16, they moved on from Bethel. In verse 14, it says, Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him. Is this okay, Mfundisi, this idea of... because
Well, to me, yes. To me, he was putting it as a sign.
Yeah.
You know, you get what I'm saying. It was just a sign that this place...
Yeah.
This is where I met God. But he was not like worshipping the stones.
So there's nothing
but
wrong with
me,
putting
I
up stones.
As a mark.
Yeah.
You know, putting a benchmark somewhere, you know, this place, I'm marking this place. I know this is my first encounter. This is my second encounter with God. So
this place,
I'll put a stone. Why a stone?
Mm.
Stone stays for long. It's unbreakable, you know.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. Yeah. So he's not actually worshiping these stones, by the way.
Okay.
It's a sign.
Let's go
for remembering that this place. Yeah.
Let's go to verse 19, Funes, because this issue of stones continues. Why it's bothering me is because it continues to verse 19. Verse 19 says, so Rachel died, Funes, and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is in Bethlehem.
Yes.
Verse 20 says, over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar. You see this pillar again, Mfundis. And to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Aye, Mfundis, you can't tell me this is not idolatry. It's like a shrine of Rachel now.
I get you. I get you. All right. So the previous encounter, you know, the verse you read there.
Right.
It's different from this one.
Same stone putting
why
up.
I'm saying so.
Yes.
He's putting all the both sides. He's putting stones, but right now, his wife has died. Rachel has died.
Yes,
you see, and he's putting this pillar.
Yes,
stones. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, but even us ourselves, when our relatives died, we put these, stones.
Tombstones.
Some call them tombstones.
Yes.
You know, yes. And when you put those things, you are just say, it's not an issue. I don't think the people worship those things. I don't know. But
people go back to those stones every now and then to go and talk to the dead. And they pour libations like we see. Yeah, another issue that we forgot. Verse 14.
Right.
And he poured out a drink offering on it. Yeah?
Yes.
Hi, Ibunis.
When people go there now and worship and do that, that's idolatry.
Now, that's the same thing that Jacob did in verse 14, Ibunis. Verse 14, Jacob did the very same thing. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering. Yeah? When we see people pouring out their beer and their wines and all their brandy there, that's exactly what Jacob is doing here. Yeah? And he's doing it to the Lord.
Huh? Yeah. That's quite interesting. Yeah, chapter, you said chapter verse 14, sure.
Yes.
You did that. It's quite,
So you, pastor, should never say it's wrong when people drink alcohol and pour this alcohol and then they mention the name of God. Jacob, after meeting God, put up a stone and then poured some alcohol there, some drink offering.
Some drink offering,
by the way, Mfundisi, as we all know, libations are never just juice.
Yes.
So help me understand, where does the Seventh-day Adventist Church stand on this issue of libations, of people taking these beverages and pouring them on the ground and talking to God while pouring these things and then having these tombstones? Where do we get there? Because here we see that Jacob is doing it and God has no objections. This is immediately after he met God. Unless what we're saying, he was wrong. He should not have done that. God seems to have no objection to it. Jacob is doing it immediately after he met God. What are we missing as a church?
My problem can be that when we do these things today, those who do it, they pour the alcohol, they are communicating with the dead.
I'm wondering, when they are telling you that they're doing what Jacob did when he met God, what are you going to say? When they say, we're not talking to the dead, we're talking to our God.
Yeah, a line should be drawn now. Jacob was not talking to dead people. No, he was talking to a live God.
What if they too are saying they're not talking to dead people? They say they're talking to God as well, what are you going to say?
I once went where they do these things.
Right.
They, in their mind, in their conscience, they're not talking to God. They are talking to a beloved one who has died. You see, that's where the line should be drawn.
Yeah.
Jacob did this, yes, but not to someone who's dead.
So
but
at church, you'll have no problem with...
Communicate with the dead now.
I hear you, Mfundisi. So if tomorrow, day after tomorrow, on Sabbath, I go to church and then I bring my brandy there and I pour it on the ground and I talk to the Lord, you won't have any objections to that, eh, Mfundisi?
Yeah. You want to put me on the corner?
Will you come and join me? You, Mfundisi, we discussed this on Thursday. So you'll come and join me and say, yes, my brother, this is what was done after God met with Jacob. You'll come and join me and hold a glass. I hold a glass and we both pour together and talk to the Lord. Eh?
Maybe. We need to research maybe. When Jacob did that, what was he doing?
But the Bible is clear, then, Mfundisi.
Yeah. Why was he doing that? You see.
Okay. All right, Mfundisi.
My own argument is that comparing what Jacob did,
right.
And you coming with a whiskey, number one, when you come with already automatically, you're doing something that is wrong. We don't come with whiskey. As Christians, we don't come with
whiskey. Why? Because Jacob, did Jacob bring water there? It was a drink offering. Drink was made of grapevine and he had no trees next to him, so that vine had already fermented.
Yes, and you said drink wine, you see, but you said whiskey. So
No. I didn't even mention the word whiskey for this. Because the point of the matter is No. But it doesn't matter if that beverage that he was pouring there, it was alcoholic nonetheless, Mfundisi. That's my point. The point of the matter is whether it is not whiskey or whatever, it doesn't really matter what kind of beverage. It was, however, alcoholic.
How do we know that it was
We know this now. First and foremost, Mfunis, that it was not water. We know this because yes. it must have been something that was put mixed together. Now, if we were saying it's going to be juice, it was just grape juice. There were no grape juice. There were no grape trees along the road. He was a traveler. He had not planted any grape. So whatever grape he may have had, over time, it has fermented because it didn't walk around with a fridge or a cooler box.
Mm-hmm.
So it had already fermented.
Fermented.
Absolutely. Funis, my time is up. We can't even continue now. We will.
Okay.
We will continue on this tomorrow, and then we'll chew on this boy who sleeps with his stepmother tomorrow. Is that okay, Funis?
Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah.
So tomorrow we'll touch on
this and then go to 35. We'll do chapter 35, but we'll just begin here and then go to chapter 35. Is that all right?
No problem.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Mfunis. I appreciate your time and your
insight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.